Awesome. All of the folks that are in the room, that are in the auditorium today, that you are in business by yourself, for yourself, you do not work for a company. In other words, if you're not hustling, nothing is getting done, the bills aren't getting paid, you're not making any money. If you're self-employed, stand up in the room this morning. Would you do it? I got a word for you. Stand up in the room. You own your own business. If you're not hustling, it's not coming to pass. Anybody else? Luke 1:52 says this about Jesus, and I prophesied over your life. Thinking about it this morning, God just dropped this word in my heart for you, so you grab a hold of it by faith. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Throw that screen up there. Throw the scripture up there. Luke 2:52, excuse me. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor. Come on, somebody say favor. Favor with God and with man. So here's what I prophesy over your life today. He grew, the Bible says, in wisdom. I prophesy that you are growing in your business in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is being released in your life so you know what to do and who to do it with. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number two, he grew in wisdom, but the Bible says in stature. That means physically, he grew physically. But what God was speaking to me to tell to you this morning is that I believe that God is growing the body of your business, the stature of your business, to hold what he wants you to carry. You're growing. Your business is growing. God's going to bring favor in your life. God's going to bring people in your life. So get ready for some expansion. Can you say amen? He grew in wisdom, he grew, the Bible says, in stature, and he grew in favor. Favor. The grace of God. It's a word that also the grace of God is connected with. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It's things working for you that God does in your life despite yourself. So listen to me. Quit looking at what you're not and start looking at who you are in Christ. In Christ. Grew in wisdom. Grew in stature, grew in favor with God, but favor also with man. So listen to me. I believe, I've got something in my phone that says every single day it's the word expectation. I would encourage you, get something, write it down, put it in your phone, get a sticky pads everywhere you go. I'm expecting the favor of God through the hand of man today. I'm expecting. Things are working for me. Things are working for my business. God has got me on his mind. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We prophesy that over your life. We release that over your life. So that you in turn can prosper yourself and you can prosper the kingdom of God. Because God will enhance you. God will work. God will increase the work of your hands to do what he's called you to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We're glad that you're here this morning. Along the lines of the offering, we want to look at a scripture this morning from the book of Psalms. Our guys will have it for us back there. You'll be. Today we want to look at a one-time message. We finished up our series on stupid men of the Bible. We thought that 4 weeks talking about stupid men was enough for us men. Can all the men say amen? Huh? But again, we talked about that it is applicable to all of us. Of course, not just generically to men, but we found out some great things from the life of Cain. We found out some things from the life of Solomon, from the life of Nabal, and also last week from the life of a guy named Demas. So if you desire to go back and listen to those, you can purchase a CD, see the guys back at the event center, or you can go online and download it yourself. Today, we want to look at the thought really about three things that they interject, they intersect, they interwine. It's really a little bit difficult to pick out one and talk about it simply by itself. We're going to try to do that a little bit. But they really have an intersecting and an interwinding part to everything we'll talk about today. We're going to talk about the Word, Jesus, and the Spirit. Come on, say that with me, will you? The Word, Jesus, and the Spirit. Look at me, if you will, from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. We're going to jump right into this one scripture that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church there at Corinth. And he is addressing, just we haven't got time to really set the whole stage up, but one of the things that the Apostle Paul found himself as he taught the Word of God was there were people that were coming against what he was teaching. There were false apostles, false prophets. There were people actually in that day, much like our day, that they're speaking and talking about not believing in God, not believing in a heaven, not believing in a hell, not believing in a right, not believing in a wrong, not believing in the authority of the Word of God. The very same thing was happening with the Apostle Paul. Very same thing happened with Jesus. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own didn't even believe him. They didn't understand. They didn't welcome them into their own life. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They actually said, isn't this just a carpenter's son? We've seen him grow up. He made a table for grandma. He made a chair for my aunt. Isn't this, how can he now be the Son of God? Well, when we look at this one scripture, we find out that there's something trying to be interwoven into the life of the church, into believers' lives, that would actually separate them from what they actually believed at one time. You know, what you believed at one time is very important, but it doesn't matter what you believed at one time. What you believed at one time, you can lose today. And so we have to keep revisiting what we know and been assured of, the Apostle Peter actually says. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice what Paul says in verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, notice that, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel from which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's really kind of jabbing them with that last phrase, you may well put up with it. Someone comes and is telling you something that's hypocrisy. Someone's coming telling you something you know is not right. Someone's coming and presenting the gospel or talking about the Word or talking about Jesus or the Holy Spirit in a way you know is not right, and yet you put up with it. So he's really kind of using, you might call, reverse psychology to the Corinthians. They were a really interesting kind of group. And Paul, when you read his letters, the two letters, he tries different tactics to open up their heart to receive wisdom and counsel from God. But the three things we want to look at this morning are the three things he addressed to this church. Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. How many know in the world there is another Jesus out there? There's another gospel out there. There's another spirit moving out in the world out there. And the Bible says it was working and trying to work in this church at Corinth. So let's not be negligent. Let's not be juvenile in our thinking to think that the capacity of that won't try to weave its way into our thinking and our day and age and our family and our psyche. So let's take some time to just look at the Word of God, and let's go ahead and get grounded and regrounded so we can know when deception comes in any sense or any form. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Three things. Look on the screen. Write them down this morning. You must grow an understanding of the person called Jesus. You must grow an understanding of the person called Jesus. Ever what you did when you first knew about Him from a child, or maybe last year you got born again, God expects you to grow and get to know Jesus more. Number two, you must grow in understanding the truth-giving Spirit. You must know and grow in understanding of the truth-giving Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is, how He's going to communicate, how you can cooperate with Him, what His role, what His job is in your life, you've got to know that. You've got to know that so you won't be susceptible to another spirit. Thirdly, on the screen, you must grow in understanding the life-changing gospel. You must grow in understanding the life-changing gospel. We would all be derelict parents, I guess we could probably say, if we never taught our children that they're two, taught them certain basics. And of course, we all know that when they're small, we teach them how to tie their shoes. We teach them how to make their bed. We teach them how to brush their teeth. We teach them how to, you know, do basic things around the house. Of course, as they grow older, we teach them more and more things. But wouldn't it be weird if there was a 20-year-old living in your house and he still didn't know how to brush his teeth? He still didn't know how to comb his hair. He still didn't know how to put his clothes on. He couldn't take care of himself. That's not proper. And so we want to keep growing. Even though we know something, we need to keep growing in who Jesus is, who the gospel, what the gospel is all about, and about this person called the Holy Spirit that will keep drawing us back to the truth. Deception comes, notice the screen, from several areas based on what we found out from these three points. Deception comes from, number one, not knowing what the Word has already said. You will be susceptible in life to deception. I will be susceptible to life and deception if I do not know what the Word of God has already said. And let me tell you by way of reminder, if all the Word you get in your life is what I'm preaching here on Sunday morning, you are going to be deficient. It's not enough for you to come and just hear 45 minutes a week here, or even if you come during our midweek service, which we encourage you to come, 30 minutes in the Word, 30 minutes in prayer on Wednesday nights. Come, it'll help you. 1 hour service. We have kids ministry and we have children's or youth ministry for the youth. It'll build you up. But that's still not enough. You must daily get in the Word of God. You must know the Word of God for yourself so you can have something to stand against any deception that tries to come into your life. Number two, deception comes from not allowing biblical knowledge to be renewed in your thinking. Biblical knowledge to renew your thinking. We'll talk about that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, where you hear the Word of God, you hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit then will bring up back to you what the Word of God has already said. So any time that you're reading the Word of God and it challenges something in your life, you shouldn't buck it. You shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to throw the Bible away, or what's that crazy? No. God is trying to touch an area of your life where revelation will come into your life where you can experience true life change. Where now you take that Word of God and you begin working it into the fabric of your daily life where your thoughts begin to change. And if your thoughts change, your actions are going to change. Come on, everybody. And your life will change. Number three, deception comes from not knowing the character of the person who said it, who is God. People say all kinds of things that God said, but He never did say. A lot of people want to talk for God and talk about what God said, but really they are violating what He has said. So if you know the character of the person who said what they said, you can understand and have a better understanding, a better knowledge of the flow in which the generality of what they're saying is growing, if you know where they stand. So to avoid deception, I've got to grow in all three areas. I've got to grow in understanding who Jesus is. I've got to grow in understanding, yielding to the Holy Spirit, understanding. I've got to grow in understanding more and more of the gospel. So grow in understanding, we say, of who Jesus is. Grow in understanding of who Jesus is. We all need to do that. We need to grow in cooperating with the Holy Spirit as He teaches us, as He instructs us, He counsels us, He shows us things, and we have to grow in knowledge of the Word of God. We must continually do that. Grow in knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible says, if you desire the Word of God, you're going to grow spiritually. If you really desire to change, your desire will then begin working in your life naturally, physically, financially, spiritually. It makes no difference. The desire in your life will actually start growing and moving you towards what you anticipate and what you really want. The Bible says, you know, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Come on, all the men said amen.
Amen.
Come on, you better say a better amen. She's sitting beside you. Come on, amen. Amen. And obtains favor from the Lord. So before you find a wife, guess what's happened in a man's life? I desire somebody. I desire somebody. And out of that desire, you begin looking. You begin processing. So the Bible is really clear that as you desire to change, as you desire to grow, as you desire to increase spiritually, God is going to move towards you so that you can actually fulfill that. Three areas that we're going to grow in this morning. Number one, write it down, the written Word. The written Word. The Word that came to Apostle Paul to this church was that if he comes and preaches a different gospel, if you've received a different gospel. So let's talk this morning for a few moments about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. So what God has already said in His Word, He won't alter His covenant. He won't alter His agreement, the Bible says. He will not change what He said. So whatever you can find in the Word of God, listen to me, you can bet your life on it. That's what God wants to do for you. Come on, somebody say for me. You know, it's really interesting that we think that the Word of God will just work for somebody else just because they're whoever they are. They're better, they're more aged, they're seems like they're more moral, all those things. I'm not saying anything negative about that. That's a really that we need to ascribe and move in those areas. But let me tell you what, God's grace is a very amazing thing that God will work for you and work in you right where you're at right now. If you won't play games, if you won't kind of just trying to pull the covers over God's eyes, so to speak, like we could actually do that, but try to hide in your sin, if you try to hide in your ways and try to kind of trick God, which you can't, by the way, if you'll just be open and honest, God's going to work with you right where you're at, and He's going to move heaven, and He's going to move hell out of your life. Come on, the Word of God can work for you. Amen? Look on the screen. I said this. Write it down. This is real simple to say, but the Bible needs to be your best friend. The Bible needs to be your best friend. You need to get your Bible. If you come on, you need to take your Bible out every month, at least for Starbucks. Come on, somebody. You need to have a friendship relationship with your Bible. You need to pick the Bible up, the written Word of God. The Bible says His Word is His will, His Word is Him. Come on, somebody. When you're in the Bible, when you're reading the Word, it's just like you're spending time with God Almighty, because you are. How amazing is that? The written Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12, and the Amplified says this. It's great scripture. We'll look at the first part of it. It says, "For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective." The Word that God speaks, come on everybody, is alive. It's alive and it's full of power. It will change every area of your life. It'll change every situation in your life. The written Word of God is God's covenant. It is His will. He won't alter that which has gone from His life, and He will bring change in your life as you keep believing and acting on it is written. Come on, everybody. Remember when Jesus was actually in the wilderness? Jesus in the wilderness. Think with me now. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit led him into the wilderness after he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights of temptations. The Bible says he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. We've got three that are written that came at the end of the temptation. Think with me. He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, and all God thought we would need wasn't the 40 days and the 40 nights, just the three the devil came to him at the end. So let me tell you what, Jesus was bewritten with mental assault of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights as he was fasting and seeking God. And the Bible says at the end of the 40 days, the devil came to him, right? With those three temptations. And come on, somebody help me with the three words that Jesus said to combat and to desist and come against the enemy. What did he say? It is written. Come on, help me one more time. It is written. Come on, make a preacher happy in Chula Vista. It is written. Before Jesus could say it was written, he had to know it was written. Thank God. He had spent time knowing the Old Testament scrolls. The New Testament wasn't written, you understand. He was living Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans, all that was not written. He was living Old Testament scripture, fulfilling prophecy, where he would come against the attacks of the enemy with the Word of God, against deception. Who he created? He created Lucifer, fallen angel, now the devil, now Satan. He created him, and now the thing he created is trying to come back to him and deceive him. Deceive him. Trick him. Yet he didn't fall prey, because he knew, come on somebody, he knew it is written. Come on somebody, help me one more time. It is written. Get in the book. Let the Bible be your best friend. Look on the screen. Before you can quote it, you have to know it. Before you know it, you have to read it. As you read it, you must believe it. As you believe it, you must then apply it. Apply it. Now, all my life, and just like you, I found out people say stuff on, you know, Twitter, Twix, you know, Twix. I don't know what Twixton is. Maybe that's the next thing. Facebook, Twixton, Twittering, whatever they're doing nowadays. But people say all kinds of crazy stuff. So let me give you just a couple things that I found that people say that you just can't quite find in the Bible, what the Word doesn't say, what the Word doesn't say. You ever had somebody say, in fact, somebody, we used to use this at the house a little bit just to kind of get under a kid's skin, that cleanliness is next to godliness. You ever said that? Cleanliness is next to godliness. How many know the Word doesn't say that? You know, we used to say that to our kids when they wouldn't clean up their rooms, you know. Cleanliness is next to godliness. But I found, I tell my kids now, that's not what the Bible says, but I do got a scripture for you. The Bible always says that when Jesus cast a devil out, he cast out an unclean spirit. So if you don't, come on, you got a dirty room, you got an unclean spirit in there. Come on. Word. Come on, baby. Word. Just messing around a little bit. How many ever heard this one? God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, that's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? No. So quit saying it. So quit saying it. So quit saying it. How about this great one? God helps those who help themselves. Scripture and verse? How about God helps those who trust Jesus? Because he already did everything I need. How about this one? God works in mysterious ways. Wow. How about we just stick with the Word? Come on, somebody say a Word. That sounds like another gospel. That sounds like a different gospel. Look under the screen. Look at several things. Write them down. Four things. Let's talk about the Word real quick. We got to get moving. You guys are listening too slow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Number one, God's Word gives direction to your path. Write it down. God's Word gives direction to your path. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, it says you're going to have a flashlight in one hand and a spotlight in another. A flashlight for where you're at right now. His Word will show me where I'm at right now. Yet His Word will give me light, enough light to get me down the path to where He wants me to go next. So details for today. Come on, details for today and discernment for tomorrow. The Word of God. Well, every time you're in the Word, He'll show you some details about what you need to be working in your life right now, and He'll give you discernment about what's happening down your path. Number two, God's Word gives certainty about your path. God's Word gives certainty about your path. Psalm 119, verse 6. "Then I would not be ashamed," the psalmist said, "when I look into all your commandments. I will not be ashamed. I will not be embarrassed. I will not come up short." When you look to the Word of God, God says exactly that's what's going to happen in your life. You will not come up short. You will not get the short end of the stick. The Word will help you avoid confusion and stumbling through life. The Word will help you avoid confusion and stumbling through life. In all the years we've been involved in ministry, Kimber and I, which is 29 now, one of the first questions we always ask somebody, and we find that there's just no negative thing, this is just true, anytime somebody's stumbled, anytime somebody's fallen, anytime someone's gotten off track, it's always the same thing. They're not in the Word, and they're not in prayer, and they're not in fellowship. It's always the same thing. Always the same thing. They're not in the Word, they're not in prayer, and they're not in fellowship with believers. They're hearing different voices, they're around a wrong crowd, they're listening to CNN, they're watching the, you know, they're watching FIFA World Cup soccer all day. Come on, somebody. They're not in the Word, they're not in prayer. It's always the same. So to avoid confusion in life, the Word of God is going to help me. Number three, God's Word gives you wisdom while you're on the path. God's Word will give you wisdom while you're on the path. Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Making wise the simple. The Bible tells us here that the Word is perfect. It'll restore and renew a person to think like God. It'll cause you to think in line with God. Over and over, my children, the youngest is 17 now, the oldest is 27. Four kids that we've had, Kimmy and I have tried consistently with our kids to get them to think like us. And if we're thinking wrong, we ask God to help us so that it's not just going through life and you're just hoping something happens. No, if you'll think like us, you'll get a God result in this area. Because we've been there. We've got experience, just like you with your own children. And so God consistently is trying to get us to think in line with the Word of God. It's going to come to us as we spend time in the Word. God will give us wisdom on the path. Come on, somebody say wisdom. Wisdom. Number four, God's Word gives us success while we're on the path. Success. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night, observing it according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have good success." Again, His Word will prosper you in every area of your life. He's not just talking about putting more money in your pocket, although that is fine. He's not just talking about you having a three-bedroom house instead of a two-bedroom condo, although that is fine. He's talking about letting the Word of God be in your life in every area of your life and meditating, thinking about it day and night, applying it to your life, working it into the fabric of your life, saying it over situations, confronting any negative thought that comes into your life and your mind that would deter you from achieving what God wants you to have in your marriage, with your children, with your body, with thoughts, with the past. Whatever's working in your life, the Word of God will give you success on your path. Keep the Word of God, the Bible says here, in your heart, on your mind, and on your lips. Keep the Word of God on your heart, in your heart, on your mind, and in your lips. Never leave what God has already said. Never leave the Word that God's already said. You know, I've over the course of the years, again, just listening to what some people have said, and they're trying. Sometimes people try to get God to change what He's already said in His Word, and He won't do it. God just won't do it. So if God says you're a one-woman man, then you're a one-woman man. You better leave the boyfriend or the girlfriend. You're not going to change God's mind. You're not going to change God's mind. So what He said is His will. So if we'll stay in the Word, we will not fall prey to, quote, another gospel. Another gospel, another word that's out there, another thought that's out there, another thinking mechanism that's out there that's somehow going to try to replace or displace us from what God said. Another gospel, we're not going to allow it in our lives. Not going to allow it in your life. Stay in the written Word. As you're in the written Word, it's going to keep you. It's going to minister to you. And listen, it's not a get-rich-quick kind of Word. It's a lifestyle of change that will produce fruit year after year after year. Come on, everybody. Year after year after year, the Word of God will produce a mighty harvest in your life. So number one, we're talking about what the Apostle Paul said about another gospel, another Jesus, another Spirit. So we've already talked about another gospel. How are we going to stay true? We're going to stay in the Word of God, and what God has said, we're going to let it is written begin working in our life and continually change every area of our life. Number two, look on the screen, another Spirit, or the Spirit brings the spoken Word. Here's where we want to make a little bit of a thought here that I believe is applicable when we're talking about this morning, is the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and what He will do in your and my life. As a young kid growing up in church, and people were talking about the Holy Spirit, of course, all I could identify with when I was young was Casper the Ghost. Can I get an amen? And I'm thinking, is the Holy Spirit like Casper the Ghost? Because he's kind of freaky. He's got a big head and he kind of floats around. And I didn't think that's what the Holy Spirit was, and He is not. The Bible says He is actually He is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But He's got a definite job assignment, what He will do in your life. And we need to continually wonder, if you will, and we need to continually ask, and we need to continually be open to what the Spirit is saying to you now in your life. What the Spirit is saying now in your life. The Holy Spirit, I have found, is always got something to say. He's always speaking. We'll find out exactly what He is going to be speaking. What He's speaking, we can find out, will always line up with the written Word. It might not be verbatim exactly what, you know, chapter and verse, but He's always going to speak exactly what the Word says. Now, to you personally, to you specifically, about how you will not fall prey to another spirit, because the Bible says there's lots of voices out here in the world, and none of them are insignificant. How will we not fall prey? I wonder what God wants me to do in my life. I can't find out what job to take. I can't find out who to marry. I can't find out what I need to do with my life. How am I going to get the specifics of my life and not fall prey to something else? Am I doing something wrong up here, guys, with that noise? If I am, let me know. Thanks, because that's annoying to all you. Thanks for your patience. In John 16:13, notice what it says. John 16:13. This is Jesus talking about who the Holy Spirit is and what He will do in your life. Notice what Jesus said. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. Come on, say the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you, come on somebody, things to come. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate insider trader. He's going to give you tips of the hot stock. Come on, He's going to tell you what's going on in your marriage, in your body, with your kids, with the ministry God's called you to do, with the business God's called you to be involved with. He is going to speak to you what He hears from the Father. The truth. He's going to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit will. I love this. So as we tune in to His leading, as we tune in to His voice, we will not be susceptible to another spirit. And again, how is He going to talk? I have this question regularly come to me. How is He going to speak? What's He going to say? How am I going to hear Him? Number one way that you hear the Spirit is you hear Him through the written Word. Through the written Word. So the more confident and the more you hear God in the written Word, the more you are going to start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit to you specifically. Amen. Specifically. So again, the Scripture says, John 16:13, He's going to guide us. He's not going to speak on His own authority. This isn't a Holy Spirit who is not under the auspices of God, where He's like a renegade Holy Spirit. He's just going to tell you something to see how He can kind of control you and manipulate you and see if you freak out. That's not Him. He is God. He's got your best interest at heart. So if we are going to grow and we are not going to be deceived in these days and the rest of our life, because how many of y'all want to finish your race? Come on, everybody. You want to finish your race? Man, I want to finish my race with joy. I want to finish the assignment that God's given me. I don't want to be picked off by the enemy. I don't want to be a casualty of this Christian experience. I don't want to grow old and bitter and negative and confused and attacked by the enemy and just judgmental and allowing some negative thought to penetrate me. No, I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit keep speaking to me, and I'm going to keep allowing myself to be changed day after day. How about you? I believe you are. Matthew 16, great scripture. Turn there. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus comes to His disciples when He's in this place called Caesarea Philippi, and He asks His disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Verse 15, He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Notice that. Who do you say that I am? So again, doesn't make any difference who the person next to you says Jesus is. Who do you say He is? Not who your husband says, or who your wife says, or what, you know, young adults, teenagers, doesn't make a difference what your parents say. Who do you say? Who do you say? The Bible says Peter, out of all the guys going around, and Peter jumps up and he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." I just get the picture that Jesus is with all these guys and He just answers this. He's asking them this question and they're spouting off, you know, different names. You know, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, and, you know, maybe Elijah. And all of a sudden Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I can see Jesus just stopping, looking at Peter going, "Man, I can't believe He really said that. Yeah, He's a knucklehead. He really said that." Now notice the response, what Jesus says to Peter. Jesus says to him, not to the group, to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." Peter, you just tapped into something beyond your natural thinking. You just allowed the Spirit of God to come into your life and from your spirit speak a word that is true. That has nothing to do with your education or anything I've even told you up until now. Something came from the very depths of His being. He just tapped into something from the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Amen. "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." He says, "I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Peter, Jesus said that Peter received revelation from a source outside his natural thinking. He received revelation. He received insight. He received a secret. He received mystery from something outside his natural thinking. The Bible then says, Jesus says this. He says that this rock called revelation, on this rock, verse 18, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." This rock called revelation is how your life will be built and how your life will be established. This rock of this person called the Holy Spirit speaking to you and revealing who God has already said in His Word He is to you. This person called the Holy Spirit speaking to you, revealing to you what you should do in your business, your activities, who to hang around with, who to leave, who to drop, who to include. The Holy Spirit will build every area of your life by His truth-giving Word being deposited in your spirit, revealing the will, the purpose, the plan of Almighty God. You cannot lose. You cannot lose. You listen to the Holy Spirit, you cannot lose. Revelation comes from this person, the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus Himself said, notice again, "On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." Will not prevail against it. So hell itself, Jesus says, cannot stand against or cannot prevail, cannot overcome a person or a church that is building their life on revelation. On revelation. Can't stand against it. Can't stand against it. Can't stand against it. The devil cannot stand against your life if you'll allow the truth-giving word coming through the life-giving spirit spoken to your spirit, working in your life. Your life will be able to stand against anything hell throws at you. I thought I'd get a better amen on a Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. Anything that hell throws against you, your family, your body, your marriage, your kids, your money, your future, anything he tries to bring up from your past, hell cannot stand against a man or a woman that knows who they are and works that into their life. Amen. Amen. There's a book series out that you'll know about it. I haven't got a picture. I should have given you a picture. But there's hundreds of titles. It's amazing. This man's made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. The book series titles are called Such and Such for Dummies. Microsoft 7.7 for Dummies. How to Build a Transmission for Dummies. How to Plant a Garden. For dummies. For dummies. I was thinking about that. That this is exactly the work of the Holy Spirit. He takes complicated things and he makes them easy and he makes them simple that even some dummies can live for God. Come on, somebody. That we can succeed. That we can fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. He takes hard things. He takes things that the enemy builds up mounds and builds up battalions and builds up fences and walls and bulwarks. And the Holy Spirit says, I've got a word for all you dummies out there. If you'll take the word of God, just like Jesus said, and you'll work it into your life, and you'll speak to that mountain, you'll speak to that difficulty that I'll empower you to speak. If you'll speak to it, if you'll let me reveal truth to you, that mountain is going to move. If you'll not be afraid when sickness and disease tries to come into your life, if you'll not say the crazy, another gospel word, must be God's will. If you'll take my word and you'll speak it out of your mouth, believe it in your heart, your body will begin reversing. If you'll take a crazy teenager who's hooked on drugs, prostituting themselves, if you'll call them blessed, call laborers across your path. You call darkness from over their eyes. Cause light to shine in their heart. Cause laborers to be around them and to hold them up and to minister to them everywhere they go. They're going to come back to their own board. So I refuse to believe another gospel that says my kids can't change. I refuse to believe another word that the Holy Spirit in my life will not empower me and empower you to bring change to anybody or anything we're coming in contact with. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Number three. Paul said, we're concerned about people that are coming preaching another gospel. Preaching another spirit. And also, people that are coming giving another Jesus. Another Jesus. Let's talk about the living Word. Let's talk about the person, Jesus Christ. I really think that we're in a real deficit, guys, and I think you all agree with where I'm going. We're in a real deficit. I find myself texting and emailing more than I am one-on-one communication. I find it's very difficult, you know, trying to connect with people. And so we're trying to do things to get connection with people, and yet it is very unconnected connection. It is very distant. It's very, you know, I've sent some texts and I've sent some things trying to, you know, express myself. And how many know you just can't do it in a text? I would like another microphone. Thank you. Thanks. We'll try to eliminate that problem. And so I find myself just constantly asking myself that how did these guys in the early church get this person called Jesus, who no longer is there, taught to the people on how they need to connect with the Word, they need to connect and have the Holy Spirit revealing in the process of what He was going to be doing, but also not getting disconnected from the actual person who all this is about.
And so there's a word that when we were growing up, and you know, maybe in some older school kind of churches, it's a word that we used to use all the time, and you'll identify if you've been in church more than, you know, 10 years. It's a word we used to use called fellowship. Come on, you ever heard that word? That's a church word, everybody. Because you don't go to the, you know, at the company picnic, hey, someone's going to bring some potato salad and someone's going to get the chicken and we're going to have some fellowship. Now, at the company picnic, someone's bringing chicken and potato salad and they're going to get drunk. Come on, somebody. Fellowship. The word fellowship is really interesting. It means close association. It means communion. And so Paul is talking to this church at Corinth and he says, listen to me, you will be susceptible. You will be susceptible to another Jesus, who's not the real Jesus, if you don't have continual times of fellowship with Him, of close communion with Him, of times in prayer with Him, allowing your heart to be penetrated, allowing your heart to be plowed up with the person Jesus, because when the person shows up, His presence shows up. And when His presence shows up, all of a sudden, your presence diminishes. Amen. And when His presence shows up, my error is exposed. Not so He can point it out and hurt me, but so that He can help me live successfully.
Amen.
This person called Jesus wants to talk to you, wants to minister to you through His Word, through the person of the Holy Spirit. But in times alone, you must have times alone with the person called Jesus. Just you, and not even in the corporate setting, as powerful as it is in the corporate setting, but you alone with Jesus. I'm convinced the 12 that were with Him, of course Judas did his own thing, but the 11 that were with Him, the only way that they could have done what they did was by 3.5 years in close proximity to the person Jesus. Not just getting a sermon, not just getting a word, not just getting a little word that's going to help their marriage and get their kids off from doing something stupid. Not just have a couple of dollars in their pocket one day. No, they were changed because they spent time for 3.5 years with the person Jesus. The way we do that is you have to have times where you just spend with Him. Lord, talk to me. Talk to me about my life. Seems like I'm a wreck. Seems like I'm making some bad choices. Lord, I've got this issue here with my family. I need your help. He's always going to bring you back to the Word. Holy Spirit's always going to reveal truth to you from the Word. But the Holy Spirit who is now in your spirit, who houses, if you will, Jesus, He will come alive to you in a way that I can't even express. His presence will invade your life, and it's like all of a sudden you just know He's there. He's there. You're here. You're right here with me. I come before your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise, and I magnify daily discipline, just worshiping God, magnifying God, honoring God, and praising God, putting on some music in the car that you can just sing and worship Jesus. And what are you doing? You're cultivating a friendship. Because the Bible says, even in the Gospel of John, Jesus didn't want to call His men and women that were around Him servants. He says, I call you friends. Because a friend is going to show and tell them things to come. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk to you. He wants you to develop a one-on-one relationship with Him. Not a group setting, a one-on-one relationship. Look at 1 John here real quick. 1 John, notice verse chapter 2, verse 27. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what's true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. He's not a lie. Just so as He taught you, notice this, remain in fellowship with Christ. Remain in fellowship with Christ. I see all three things we're talking about here in this passage this morning. I see the talk about the Word of God. I see talk about revelation from the Holy Spirit. I see talk in the last line about fellowship with Jesus around who He really is. Remain in fellowship with Jesus. Why? So that you can know the truth that's going to set you free. You can grow as a believer in who Jesus Christ is. So your daily time with prayer with Him is so vitally important. The Bible says our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the thought of how years ago a friend out in the desert pastors a church who he had gone to Rhema Bible Training College that we went to, and he had also gone, he's a graduate of Oral Roberts University. And he served in some capacity close with Oral Roberts, and that's a name maybe some of you don't know, but he was a great, great evangelist in the 40s, 50s, 60s, did some phenomenal things, built a great university in Tulsa, Oklahoma that's still standing to this day. Did some phenomenal, phenomenal use by God, signs, wonders, and miracles, and healings. And we had a friend who, this man out in the desert who, again, a friend with Oral Roberts. And he was nearing the end of his life. He had a home right up here in Newport Beach. And so he called me one day and he said, "Hey, Gary, there's an opportunity next week. We're getting together with about 8 ministers. And Oral Roberts is doing this like twice a week, every week, because he just feels like he needs to do this with some ministers that desire to be there to come spend about 2 hours with Oral Roberts." And so he said, "Do you think you could come?" And I said, "Do I think I could come?" Yes. It made no difference what the agenda was. It made no difference if I had to get a haircut. Come on, somebody. It made no difference if there was golf on the table or go kayak fishing. It made no difference what other appointments I had. That day's blocked. I'm going to go meet someone and have fellowship with someone. And he sat there for 2 hours and taught the Word of God to us from Mark chapter 4. And I was sitting in the living room just listening, going, you know, pinching myself, saying, "This can't be real. This can't. Look at those hands. Those hands heal people's bodies through the power of Jesus. Those hands built university. Those hands have anointed men and women. Look," and he laid hands on all of us. Amazing. I'll never forget it. As great as it was, every single day, all day long, me and you have the opportunity to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Where He will come into your car, He will come into your condo, He will meet you at Starbucks, and His presence will be right there with you. Where you can have fellowship with Him, and you can talk to Him just like you're talking to somebody else. In closing, James says this: draw near to God. And what's God going to do? Draw near to you. You make the first move. God won't move twice. Somebody say, God's not a cheater. God's not a cheater like in playing chess or playing checkers. It's always your move. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. In Luke chapter 24, there's an amazing scripture. It says this, that is after Jesus had resurrected, there's two men walking on a road. It's called Emmaus, an amazing story. You should read it sometime in Luke 24. The Bible says that Jesus shows up right there where they're at, and they're talking about everything that had happened, all the trouble that had happened, how the persecution is going on now about this person, Jesus, and was He really who He said He was, and is He really going to come back? And we believe the Bible, and we believe what He said, and yet look at what's going on right now. It doesn't look like anything's really happening. It doesn't look like the Word He said is really going to come true. You probably thought that a time or two. The Bible says Jesus drew near, and He began opening the Scriptures to him, these two men. He began with the Old Testament prophets and worked His way through. Jesus took two men who were doubting back to the Word. And Jesus, full of the Spirit and His presence, changing these two men as they walked. The Bible says it was getting late, so they begged Him to come to the house with Him. As He sat at the house, they began to break bread, and they gave it to Jesus. And as He broke the bread, all of a sudden, their eyes were open, and He departed from their midst. And the Bible says this, these men recorded, Luke recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 32. These men said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened the Scripture?" Every time you're in the Word, we come to church, personally. As God opens up the Word here, as God opens you to the Word at your house, as you listen to a CD, watch a DVD, as you hear the words of God, the words of Jesus, something's going to happen in your heart. The presence of God will begin burning in you, burning in you, to make it another day, to forgive that unforgiving person, to release that hurt and that bitterness, to fulfill the will of God for your life, to get out of the boat. It's time to quit playing around. It's time to do what God's asking you to do. Their hearts burned within them because they were with a person called Jesus. When you're with Jesus, your life will change. When you're with Jesus, all things become possible. When you're with Jesus, the past is forgotten. All possibilities then come in front of you. Are you spending time with Jesus, the person? The person. Not spending time just with a group and a collective group, but spending time with the individual called Jesus. Come on, bow your head. Close your eyes this morning. Father God, we ask you this morning that the living Jesus become real to every person in this room. Not religion, not another gospel, not another spirit, not another Jesus, but the real Jesus. Father, help us today grow in understanding of who you are. Grow in understanding of what your word says. Grow in understanding of the Holy Spirit revealing truth to us. But Father, beyond all that, we must spend time with your Son, the person, Jesus. Today as we sang, I just implore you again, make a decision right now. I'm altering things. I'm changing things. I'm going to rework some things in my life and my schedule so that Jesus and His Word and the Spirit take priority. I'm going to get up a little bit earlier. I'm going to stay up a little bit later. I'm going to change my lunch schedule so that I can have time with Jesus and His Word and the Spirit. I'm going to make a decision today to be more in church, not just at church, but in church, connected with the Word and the things of the Spirit and the person Jesus. I make a decision today. I make a decision. Come on, stand up, everybody in the room. Would you do that this morning? Prayer partners, come up here and help me. Prayer partners, I believe that there's several in the room today that you're away from God. You're away from Jesus. Maybe you were like me as a little kid in Baptist church. As an altar call was given, that's what we called it then, as an altar call, a prayer, commitment, rededication. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you've made a decision to follow Jesus before, but you've just left that. Maybe you're like Brother Hagin used to.